to The Upper Hand, where Chuck and Chris talk hand surgery.
We are two hand surgeons at Washington University in St. Louis, here to talk about all aspects of hand surgery, from technical to personal.
Thank you for subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
And be sure to leave a review. That helps us get the word out.
Oh, hey, Chris.
Hey, Chuck. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you tonight?
I'm not homeless anymore. This is great.
I see you have a new background in your Zoom window.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out where the sweet spots for the internet are in this house, but we don't have the old St. Louis plaster walls anymore. Since the place was gutted, they got rid of the plaster walls, so hopefully the internet is no longer as much of an issue as it's been in the past.
That is a gift. I'm still fighting those old plaster walls.
It feels good. It feels weird. I've been living out of a suitcase for almost 2 months now and away from my normal caffeine regimen, so now I'm back. I've got all my old stuff. I've got my normal amount of coffee. I had to, cut it down because it looked ridiculous to drink that much coffee in front of other people. But.
All right. Well, enough about me and you. We have seriously VIP guests tonight.
We do. We're fortunate enough to be joined by the co-chairs of the annual meeting for the ASSH, the American Society for Surgery of the Hand. So we welcome back Dr. Amy Moore, the chief of plastic surgery at The Ohio State University. Welcome back, Amy.
Hey, hi. Thanks so much. It's such a pleasure to be here and to talk about the annual meeting. Woohoo.
And we have Dr. John Fowler from the University of Pittsburgh, where he is an associate professor and assistant dean. Hello, John.
Hello, Chris and Chuck.
Welcome to both of you. So we are super excited to get your take on the annual meeting, which is always an extravaganza. And we know this year you guys have put together a remarkable program. So thank you for that. You will not get told thank you enough, but Chris and I are here to thank you tonight. But we wanted to start with a question from the audience, and I'll turn it over to Chris for the introduction.
Yes. And Chuck knows what it feels like to put together a meeting since you were the annual meeting chair a few years back.
Let's be clear. There was no pandemic hanging over my head. So very different times.
For sure. So here, this is from Dr. Clifford Johnson, a hand surgeon over in Champaign, Illinois. So not too far from our neighborhood. And he wanted to give a comment, says, thanks for continuing to turn out great podcast episodes. They have become a great starting point for discussions with our hand therapy team, and I recommend them to all of the medical students as they rotate with me. So his question is, a question that always seems to come up is magnification and loops. When should they get them? What should they get? Brand, magnification. When do you use them? When do you not use them? And when do you transition to the microscope? So I thought this was a perfect question since we have a total of four hand surgeons on the line, all with less hair or much more experience than I. So let's get it started. So Amy, what kind of loops did you get in training? Are they still the same loops? And answer some of Clifford's questions.
Yeah, no, great. I think I wear loops most of the time now with age as my eyes are dying. I feel like I need them. I started out with 3.5s and I use Surgitel because I love their optics and they have a really light rim. And now I have 3.5s and 4.5s for my nerve work and tend to add that headlight, which is a key addition, having a nice LED light that's light so that it doesn't have the bridge of your nose rot off. But I would say get started on them as early as you can because it is a little learning curve to be working within loops to know your distance and your focal length, but love them.
Now, do most plastic surgery trainees use 2.5s or 3.5s? I know that many more orthopedic trainees will use 2.5s.
Yeah, we recommend probably more towards the 3 to 3.5s.
And is it the same pair of 3.5s that you've had since training or how many?
Yes. Can you believe that? I mean, like that tells you, right? So that's been a couple decades now, right? Almost. And so, yeah, no, I still have my 3.5s from then. I have loaned them out to many other hand surgeons as I got my 4s and my 4.5s. But yeah, no. How about you guys? What do you guys think?
You know, I was given a piece of advice by Richard Government when I was an intern and I bought loops and it felt like a huge investment. But as you just said, they lasted me 20 years and I probably could have gone another 10 years. I had designs for vision. I got the 3.5 extended field. I love the optics. They certainly are on the heavy side. I recently bought a new pair of 3.5 extended field designed for vision because I'm a creature of habit. I did look at others. I did consider a headlight, but I stuck with I guess what got me here. But I would say two things. One, I think the focal length matters a lot. And so I was told to consider a little bit longer focal length than maybe I was initially comfortable with to help make me sit up and keep my head up. And I think that really does help me. And it's worth, to me, it was worth the investment of the 3.5 extended fields.
Now, are the 3.5s and the 4.5s, do they feel heavy to you guys? Because I have the same critique. And Chuck, you mentioned your old ones being heavy. Are your new ones lighter? And do they feel less cumbersome? Because obviously, ergonomically, as you've hinted to, that can be a challenge.
They're heavy, but I do a lot of neck workouts. So I'm handling it pretty well.
We do hard things. What do you think, Amy? Are the 4.5s heavy?
They're heavier than my 3.5s. But I think it's depending on if you're just focused on keeping your belly tight, right? So I think about posture all the time to make sure that I don't have this hyper flexed neck. And I think that is really key. Now, sometimes they're mounted a little bit lower so that you can keep your head straight. The earlier you learn your ergonomics, the better. So I think the weight of the glasses and the whole mechanism is important for comfort, and especially for long cases. But otherwise, I think really it's how you present your posture. It's probably going to impact you more.
So John, take us home. What do you think about loops? And you know, tell us your story.
Yeah, so I'm currently 3.8 oroscopic wide field. And I start off with the 2.5 designs for vision, like most orthopedic residents. And I really think they're just not quite enough to do really intricate hand surgery. I think you really quote unquote need the extra magnification. I think 4 or 4.5 is probably good for digital nerves and some of the stuff Amy does. I think the frames are actually really important. And one of the things I was kind of told looking at loops that were 4 or 4.5 is that it's harder to get some of the traditional sport frames with those just because they are heavier lenses. And so I'll be curious kind of going forward, different strategies to fit those on the frames. I think the sport frames can be really light and they can help stop some of those problems that everyone's talking about having a heavy loop.
Yeah, I have the sports frames for mine, which is why I really leaned towards Surgitel, is because they could provide it with the optics. But I have no disclosure for them. Like, you know, it is.
I was going to say, let's all give our disclosure.
Yeah, none, zero. And I actually find sometimes it really difficult. Like they must be really busy because I wanted to buy a new pair of loops and I had to wait 6 weeks for the person to come. I'm like, I'm going to spend some money. Come on.
Yeah,
but yeah, clearly was not.
I have Design for Vision and I went to that brand mainly because that's the brand my dad had. So he had those, and I still remember the vintage, you know, old box that he had.
I set that
aside in his house to bring up to St. Louis at some point because I just love the box. You know, one trick
the wooden that, ones, the big wooden wood, ones.
Oh yeah,
with their nameplate. Yeah, I get, that's great.
Well, that Design for Vision changed to like the black and silver ones, and I think they have something else now, but. For me, that was nostalgia. And then I remember the loop rep telling us, you know, one tip for the trainees, the loop should either be on your neck or in their case. Don't ever make that mistake. I know that happens to us a lot when we're doing micro and somebody takes our loops from us. Just really be careful to know where they are. And then Bob Hotchkiss taught me that a pair of 2.5 Design for Vision loops will fit in a Maui Jim sunglasses case, which makes your life infinitely easier when you're toting something around if you just want to have a pair of loops that'll fit in a smaller bag.
Wow.
Little things.
No.
What a
pearl. let's get to the exactly. This is what the podcast is for. Let's get to the meeting. So Amy, tell us about the current situation. Obviously what the Delta variant is on everybody's mind. We're recording this just under 4 weeks from the date. 3.5 weeks, I guess. Yeah. From the start of the meeting.
Yeah, no, exactly. So we got word this weekend that it's a go. And John and I were keeping our fingers crossed because it's been a little bit of a roller coaster, let's be honest, of, okay, we're going to go all virtual or we're going to go all in person. And then, okay, we're going to build both at the same time. And so it was really exciting to hear that we're going to be in person. I the only other thing to say about it is like, it's time. It's time for us to gather. Do it safely, masks on, and you have to have proof of your vaccinations. But but honestly really excited that we're going to be able to do this in person.
So John, how much back and forth has there been about the format, as Amy alluded to? How stressed are have you been about this happening or not happening? Just you guys have put in so much work over so many months that I know you're counting down the minutes and the days, but how have the last few weeks been?
Yeah, I mean, to answer the first part, the ASSH has been very strategic from the beginning, where they always understood the possibility that this may happen. And so we really have been planning basically two meetings the entire time. And that hybrid option has always been there. And so I think there's been a lot of forward thinking by Dr. Chung and Mark Anderson and Angela Gaspy to really think about all these issues. So we were, as you said, you know, selfishly so kind of happy to hear those in person for a lot of reasons. I still think there's just something special about the annual meetings. And for those of us that have been going for a long time, I think we do lose a little bit of that specialness, but it still is a spectacle. I think it's still important to gather. I think it's great to share, you know, a glass of wine or a meal with our colleagues. I think there's a lot to be said about gathering in person. And so I know that both Amy and I are really excited about doing that.
Are there any particular sessions or parts of the day that either of you are really excited about as you plan the meeting out?
Well, I think one of the bonuses, if you look at it that way, about the current program, we really had to cut things down. I mean, it's amazing how many just really good ICLs and symposia and abstract we got. And basically, we had to cut it down to such a small number from where we started because of the hybrid format. And so really what we're getting is kind of the best of the best. These really are the truly absolute best symposia and ICLs. And I think people will be excited about that. I'm really excited about our speakers. You know, one of the big things that we wanted to do this year was really have a very diverse group of speakers. We don't want the same people talking all the time. We really wanted to make sure that we had a very strong female presence on the podium. I think that, you know, this our day and age, we want to make sure we're giving them a voice. And I think that was really important to us this year in choosing our speakers.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'll piggyback on it, but I think a lot of this came from Dr. Chung, as well as wanting to have younger speakers on the program and diverse speakers. I mean, we've just lived through this, you know, social unrest of like it's time, right? And so I think that that's what we're looking forward to about the program is that it is very diverse, not only in topic, but in the people presenting. I'm disappointed that many of our international guests were not able to come. I know that Dr. Chung has been truly invested internationally. And so we had all these people coming and almost on every program we had representation and that they're still going to be with us with their, you know, pre-recorded and if not live streaming. So we're grateful for the contributions of our international members as well.
So John, walk us through, I guess, what the meeting is going to look like from a hybrid perspective. Are there some options that are only available on site? Just kind of talk through how you have put all this together in your head.
So yes, there are some live sessions that won't be available online. There are a fair number of recorded or pre-recorded sessions that will be available online, but also there'll be some live sessions that will be recorded. So it's kind of a roundabout answer to that. There are some things that will only be available on site in San Francisco, but I think the ASSH has tried hard to make sure that most things are available at home. And I think that's part of the reason why there was kind of a limitation on how many sessions we could have. I know for last year's meeting, the ASSH spent literally 500 or 600 hours on staff hours recording the sessions and making sure things looked good for an online format. And I think they realized pretty quickly that was such a Herculean effort, they probably could not reproduce that again this year and keep their staff. And I think we're seeing that across the country, whether it's doctors or nurses, people are burning out from some of the extra workloads. I think that was a wise decision on their part.
Yeah, so specifically, we have 32 instructional course lectures, 24 symposia, 6 live pre-courses, 3 live post-courses, 8 interactive case reviews, again, live, and then 33 live paper presentations. So we still have a pretty full meeting, but it is a third of what, maybe even less than a third of what's usually offered. But I think that's going to be really neat for it to be such an intimate group. So those of us who make it there and be live streaming and be live in person, most of the symposium will be live streamed as well. So I think it's it's going to be interesting. How about that word, right? You hate to be the interesting patient. Well, you hate to have the interesting meeting, except we're going to make it great. So, you know, show up and be happy, right? Be grateful that we can gather. That's my mantra.
I think it's going to be incredible to get together, as John was mentioning. And also, when I tried to do the annual meeting from home last year, I just got pulled in too many different directions. You're in your normal world. So it's hard to truly unplug and tune into the meeting. And I'm hoping that those that are going to join remotely are able to do that, because it's, I think we've had a few more conferences under our belt. This is actually going to be my first in-person experience, provided nothing changes in the next 3 weeks. For a very long time. I can't even remember.
Yeah, what I miss most is the personal touch. And Chris and I have talked about this. I've never been one to, I socialize, but, I've never been about having a cup of coffee with a friend. And I think I will reengage at a very different level. So you guys, as I recall, you guys did not choose the presidential guest speaker. That's why the presidential guest speaker is called the presidential guest speaker. Go figure. But Julie, is it Freischlag, who is a dean and a vascular surgeon? Any intro to her topic? You guys familiar with what she's going
to
speak about?
Yeah, she's going to talk about Breakthrough to Brave. And she's very inspirational. She's been through a lot and has really given a voice to what it means to lean in with leadership and into a surgical career. And I know that her and Kevin go back years. And so it was an easy way for her to be present. John, do you want to add anything more to that? It's been fun seeing, the pathway of how it works behind the scenes of getting the different speakers. But she's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, no really additional comments. As you said, Dr. Chung really picked those people, but it has been interesting to research their bios and kind of figure out, who they are and what they're going to talk to us about.
What have you each enjoyed the most about putting together the meeting? Obviously, as you said, it's an interesting year, but clearly there have probably been some very fun points that you've encountered.
I will honestly say, working with John has been the bright spot. I don't know that we knew each other very well, but man, we comp each other very, very well. It's like one thing that he's great at is organizing and getting me the Excel sheet, and I'm in there ready to tune up and make it flowery and making sure we have representation. And so that has been a huge bright spot, is having this ally with me. And I know we'll be friends forever from it. Sorry, John, you're stuck with me, but it's been great.
Stole my answer, Amy. How could I should have gone first? Oh, I was going
to
say.
Well, you're supposed to thank Dr. Chung. That's what you're supposed to move to, right?
Well, they said the favorite part. I mean, Amy Moore's my favorite part. How could you not want to work with Amy Moore? Right. But it's been an honor. That's for sure. I think one of my mentors kind of always talked about, when you get to a position of leadership, one of the best parts is trying to identify younger people and talented people and try to give them the opportunity to succeed. And so I think, as Amy said earlier, Dr. Chung very much gave us this ability to pick younger speakers and pick people who maybe haven't had the stage in the past. And that's been very rewarding. We want to try to lift up people and put them in positions to do good things at the meeting, enhance surgery, help patients. So that's been very rewarding overall.
And how about the Hand Society staff? I mean, you guys, I know, have worked like crazy to do this, but having Angie on your team has got to feel good.
Well, it's incredible. I mean, I think that as busy practicing surgeons like all of us are, there's just no way that you can do this by yourselves. And to have a full-time professional staff and everything that is doing so much behind the scenes, it just would never get done. And so I know Amy and I are both so thankful for the ASSH staff, and Angie's been doing this a long time. And it's just so neat to see her guidance over everything. And it just always gave me confidence. You talked earlier about, are you stressed about things? And I would say a little bit, but I knew that with Angie and Mark and the whole ASSH team, things were going to work out. It was just a matter of how we got there.
Well, we knew they're going to work out. It's almost like they could predict what we were going to do. Like, oh no, we've seen this before. No, that's not going to work. And then Angie be like, well, maybe. And then Mark comes in with the hammer. I told him I needed to hire him. I needed someone who kept us on track. But they are a phenomenal group. And it's been, it's learning a whole new system. And they make it easy. And, you know, we weren't going to fail because they weren't going to let us fail. And I know that made it fun for us to sort of reach and push boundaries. Well, we want to do this and we want to do that. And they're like, no. But it's been great. The opening ceremony, we can talk about that next because that's really exciting.
Tell us.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Is this the one where our kids are going to kill us later, Amy? For
your daughter is amazing. My kids. Okay. So here's the background for it. We've had a really tough 18 months, and the idea was, how did we get through it? Right. We got through it with our talents outside of the OR, especially when we couldn't. We went back into those talents when we weren't able to operate and think about what made us happy and gave us joy. And then it was also our families, our friends and families closest to us that we were now, restricted in our little pods. But those are what brought us through. And so our ideas for the opening ceremony was, well, let's lean into that. And Kevin Chung really wanted a more traditional opening ceremony. And so we looked for classically trained hand surgeons, musicians, and have found five, which is really exciting. And so they've been putting together a really great opening ceremony set of music from Handel's, the Water Collection. And then we used our children. So we asked for people to donate their children and to sing America the Beautiful and the Star Spangled Banner. And it turned out great. I'm so excited. So, and John's daughter is amazing and steals the show. She may hate him for it, but it is really amazing. So I'll stop there. John, you pipe in.
Well, I mean, my daughter may not talk to me for several months, but I haven't showed her the final product yet. So hopefully she's okay with it, but it's fun. I mean, I think it, part of this whole hand surgery thing and the society is kind of showing maybe like who we are outside of work. And so I love kind of Amy's ideas and about the children's choir and kind of letting that little part of us shine through. Because in the long run, that's what people remember. And that's what makes this stuff special. So I'm just so thankful that Amy had the vision to bring that together.
I have a confession for you guys. I tried. My kids couldn't do it. It was too much. And my son is six. He's got a pretty good voice and he can carry a tune. But my daughter, who's three, it's not her strong suit. I'll put it that way, to carry a tune. So there were attempts, but it was
good
nothing.
Confession, but you should, I mean, you're going to see it and be like, oh, I wish I would have put in, like, there's these kids, Sonu Jain's kids, they're not singing, but they're just swinging their hands. The songs are long. And they were chosen by Dr. Chung. So we're going with them. Right. But it was one of those things where like, you just can't do anything but smile. I mean, the music is what it is, but you're not alone there. And thank you for trying. We had many, many people try. We were hoping to do more of an outtakes, but it's not as traditional as we probably should go. So it was fun, though.
I had one question I wanted to ask. As you guys know, we have a bunch of a wide variety of folks who listen. So we have a lot of residents and fellows who listen, too, who might be making the trip to San Francisco for the Resident Fellows Conference, which I know Paige Fox and Steve Haas have been working on. So not particularly in your program, but what are the things that the younger trainees should pay attention to when they go to the meeting or whether they're tuning in online?
Well, I would just say to soak it all in and really go to the meeting. We've talked a lot about some of the social aspects. I think sometimes it's easy to get caught up and, you know, going out to dinner and staying out late. But I think that sometimes as the resident, there's just so much to learn and experience. And like I said, I think, this year it may be a little bit easier to experience more of the meeting. You know, one of the downsides in the years past is that there were so many different offerings that 15 ICLs all going out at once. Which one do you pick? I think that can be overwhelming for a resident or a fellow. You know, I think this year, maybe one of the nice things for what it's worth is there's fewer things going on concurrently. So you may be able to experience more of the things that you want to see.
Yeah, I completely agree about that. I think this is going to feel very intimate. You know, we're going to have mostly just, practicing surgeons from the US. It's going to be those who are going to gather. And I do think that for a resident or for our learners, that there's going to be able to glean both not only those in the audience participating, but in the social events that are going to stem around the exhibit halls. We don't have anything big and planned, On the evenings, like we don't have the Handapalooza this year because it just wasn't available to make it safe. But I think that gives us opportunity. It's opportunity for us to really engage with the residents who are there. And the residents fellows, that whole day looks to be jam-packed with just great, great items to learn and then to also socialize and with other larger mentors from the meeting, as well as from just our committees at whole.
Yeah, I love that. I think the comment about intimacy is really right on, because there's going to be a smaller number of people. I'm not sure how small, but I think any resident fellow can walk up to probably anyone and ask a question or make a comment. So it really is going to be remarkable. So I don't know. I guess I would say just thank you. Thank you guys for working for a long, long year and then some to make this happen. And I hope you guys enjoy it. You know, that's part of the trick, right? You're probably not presenting much or if anything scientifically. You have a lot of duties, but I hope you both find time to enjoy it.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. I have no doubt that we will. I'm excited to see what it becomes like with all of you, for sure. And then for John and I to go back and forth, you tag here, I go there. I mean, we're gonna be on it. So I look forward to seeing you all as well.
So I'm going to get my Chuck going here. And two things. So Amy and John, what is the first thing you're going to do when you get home from the meeting to celebrate the completion of the meeting? And then I'll add something after you guys respond.
Well, I tell you, I miss my wife so much when I go to these meetings. I've come home early from meetings and, you know, paid the extra fees to change my flight on multiple occasions. So I think just the first thing is to come back and give her a big hug and just kind of hang out for a little bit. But I miss her so much. And this is for me, you know, Monday through Sunday, basically, for this meeting. I don't know what I'm gonna do without her. It's gonna be crazy.
Oh, it's so nice. I can't really say I would have said that, although I love my husband and family. I honestly think I'm going to celebrate the first night we're there, John, as it's like happening, or maybe it's Thursday night after it's opened, you know, with a nice glass of wine with friends. I think now that we know it's on, there's going to be some tough weeks, the next 3 weeks, of making sure that we have the live coverage and people who are attending. It was 45 to 55%. So 55% were attending virtually and 45% in person. And so I think we still will have a good group and a good amount. I guess I didn't really answer your question, Chris, because I can't wait to celebrate there and then sleep afterwards.
There you go. So the last thing is that if anybody has made it this far in the podcast, if you're a resident or a fellow and you're at the meeting, Chuck is going to provide me with some swag to bring to the meeting. So come introduce yourself, say hi if you listen. We want to meet you. Chuck's got some surprises up his sleeve there with the swag. So may not be a mug, but it might be something else relevant to the earlier topic that we opened with.
Can I come find you, Chuck and Chris? I want some swag. Come on now. I've used my coffee mug almost every morning. I need to send you a photo with that.
You do. And John, you need to do
the
same.
It's the perfect size. Like, it's just enough that I don't have to get cold.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Listen, thank you both so much for taking time out of your so busy schedules to join us. I know that our audience will be very appreciative, as are Chris and I.
Yeah, thank you. It's a huge honor to be here.
See you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for having us.
Cheers. Yay.
Take care, guys.
Thank you both.
Bye.
Hey, Chris, that was fun. Let's do it again real soon.
Sounds good. Well, be sure to check us out on Twitter at Hand Podcast. Hey, Chuck, what's your Twitter handle?
Mine is @congenitalhand. What about you?
Mine is @ChrisDMD, spelled D-Y. And if you'd like to email us, you can reach us at handpodcast@gmail.com.
And remember, please subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
And be sure to leave a review. That helps us get the word out.
Special thanks to Peter Martin for the amazing music. And remember, keep the upper hand. Come back next time.